Welcome to the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. We hope you're encouraged by today's message and encounter God's heart through it. To find out more about us, visit lifechurchstpeters.com.
Front row with me, and if you're a guest here or newish, we have the privilege and pleasure of serving this community. We just want to welcome you. Our desire is that you would encounter Jesus, you would hear him, feel him every day. So if you are new here, we would love to meet you out in the foyer afterwards. It would be an honor to meet you. I told a lie last week. Confess your sins one to another. Last week, I said that a man named Daniel Reynolds was going to be here this morning, and he is not. So please forgive me for that. Yeah, I'll do better. I'll do better. Daniel, and I think we're going to have a video. Instead of him physically being here, I guess that's just a kind of a part lie, because he is going to be here in a video in just a couple of seconds. If you don't know or haven't met or experienced Daniel Reynolds, he is British, which you will find out in the video. He leads the church in Chicago. My wife and I met him in England in 1996, a number of years ago. And when we lived in England, he joined the church there, then followed us, flew on a different plane to Chicago. Randy and I lived there for 9 years, and the Lord spoke to us to come back to St. Louis, and so Daniel and his wife Fiona lead that church. And he is part of an organization, a network of churches, a very loose organization and network. It's not like a denomination or anything. But Daniel flies all over the country and at times the world, just connecting with different pastors and leaders of churches and blessing people. And that's part of the reason why he's not here this morning. His mother-in-law just passed in England. So if you know Fiona, send her a card or drop her a note or something. So Daniel's going to fly to England this week, early week. And he was in Kentucky and everywhere all. And I said, Dan, we don't want you. Stay home just for his own health. And he'll come back in May or June. So he will be here. So I apologize for him not speaking this morning. He is amazing for many of us. He's a very dear friend.
Good morning, Life Church St. Peter's. It's Dan Reynolds here. I first of all bring greetings from Fee. She is in England right now. Sadly, she had to say goodbye to her mum a week or two ago in the UK. I fly out on Tuesday, but we wish that we could both be with you today as you celebrate this time of looking at vision and where you've come from and where you're going. And I just want to tell you a quick story that in 1996, right there in St. Peter's, early in the morning, I had Fee blindfolded as we jumped into a hot air balloon and we took off from a Hardee's parking lot, and I asked her to be my wife. That was nearly 27 years ago. And we went back to England and got married. And while we were doing that, there was a conference for pastors. And during that conference, there was a man named Gerald Coates, who Bryn Jones had actually asked to come and speak. And he called two people out of the crowd. One was Tom Kyle, the other one was me. And he had us lay hands on each other. And the power of the Spirit came on upon us and we fell on the ground. And when we got up, Tom Kyle said, I'd like you to come and speak in the church that my wife Randy and I pastor, in a place called Letchworth. So we went for the weekend. I said, Tom, I've never preached before. And he said, don't worry, you'll be fine. And I preached a bumbly message. I think I still have the pages somewhere of that message that I preached. But God joined our hearts with Tom and Randy, and we just fell in love with them and their children. And about 6 months later, we moved to Letchworth to be with them. We bought a house, and just as we were about to move into the house, Tom and Randy announced at lunch one day that they were moving back to the United States to a place called Elgin, Illinois. And the Lord just spoke to us that they were going to disciple us and that they were going to input into us. And it was really like an internship or an apprenticeship that we just needed to go on. So we sold our house and used the proceeds to be with Tom and Randy. We flew out there. And for the next 2 years, Tom and Randy just poured into us. And then we went back to England, went to Bible school where Isaac and Judah were where Isaac and Judah were born, right a week before we graduated. And that's where God gave us a dream to move to back to the United States to a place called St. Charles and plant a church. And I just want to say that for the paradigm that many of you may have grown up under was very much a top down. So there was somebody at the top or people at the top or a team at the top that would say, this is the vision. And Tom and Randy really modeled something very different to us. It was more of an upside down triangle where the leaders were there and they as mentors to us and spiritual parents to us really wanted to listen to the dreams and visions that God had put into our hearts. And then they helped them come to fruition. And so we moved back and we were able to plant into St. Charles with Tom and Randy's help. And then it was fast forwarding. We were going to a conference in California, and we were on the wharf in San Francisco. And I began to just share with Tom my heart and some of the dreams that God had put in my heart. And he said, Dan, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of our God. He was quoting, of course, from Psalm 46. And he said, we're not the river, but there is a stream that makes glad the people of our God. And that's really where life streams came from, to be a stream of life to people and churches around the world. I just got back yesterday from Kentucky, where I met a young couple who just wanted just that. The church is probably 300 or 400 adults, and they're just looking for someone that can help their dreams come true. They have a dream. And so rather than saying, we're gonna give you a dream, we're gonna give you a vision, we wanna just help their dreams come true. And that's been the same in the UK, it's the same in Africa, same in Afghanistan, and of course right here in America. So it's very hard sometimes to explain life streams, because it's very different from a ministry or a person that has a vision that we expect everybody else to follow. So I just want to celebrate you all today, church, as you look at, as you reflect on the last 10 years, this last decade, as Tom and Randy and you as a church have helped rescue people, you've helped bring life back to dry bones. And now as you look to the next 10 years to go out into the city there and the regions around to help people's dreams come true, to help people find their God-given shape and the very reason that they're alive, and be that stream of life to them. We love you so much. Can't wait to be with you soon. And we will probably see you later on this summer. God bless you all. Have a great Sunday. Love you.
That was Dan Reynolds. Did you see the picture on the wall? Could you put that back up just as a still? Over on the right? That's what Dan used to look like. But now it seems to have slipped down to his chin. I don't know. Must be a British thing. And he mentioned, I think, 2, maybe 3 times that he came back after Bible school to plant a church in St. Charles. That was St. Charles, Illinois. Not St. Charles, Missouri. And so it's funny when people look on the website and they say, I thought Dan was going to speak this morning in St. Charles, Missouri. No, it was St. Charles, Illinois. So we do have a related church up there, 2 or 3 different churches. And so what I want to do this morning is just add a little bit to the history of this church. And I'm going to bring Guy up and ask him to speak this morning and share not just where we've been, which I'll cover a little bit, but kind of where we feel the Lord is leading us in the future. I'm going to get way ahead of myself, so I'm going to come back. So we were in Chicago with Dan and Fee, serving in the church up there, and the Lord spoke to us in late 2006 to move back to St. Louis. It's my 4th time living in this amazing city. It's Randy's home, so she was very, very excited. But when the Lord spoke to us, we came back to help a church, and very, very quickly became apparent that that was not going to be possible. So a different church emerged, and eventually, subsequently, we helped a church plant in St. Charles, Missouri. It's now called Main Street Church. Funny enough, it's on Main Street in St. Charles. So we served there, but we probably were there, 5, 6 years, and our challenge for Randy and I was this. We knew so many hurting, discouraged, broken, angry people who were part, just part of churches, and they got hurt in churches, they got hurt with life, and so many of our friends were just at home, sitting there, beaten up. And one of our frustrations, it just seemed like so many of our church friends and churches had kind of gone for theology and left the things of the Spirit behind because it makes people uncomfortable, and our heart was just to see our friends come back to life, to be refreshed. And it was probably 2012. I actually accepted an offer to move to north of Kansas City to work with a church in a town called St. Joseph. And I was just discouraged with what I saw in St. Louis. Really, really discouraged with what was happening here. And so I was just praying, and we accepted the position to lead a church in St. Joseph, Missouri. And I was just praying, and the Lord said, "Now, tell me again, where are you going?" And he said, "Well, I called you to St. Louis. I didn't call you to St. Joseph, Missouri. What are you doing?" I said, "Well, I'm going to eat a lot of crow and back right out." And so right then I was praying out our back window. We had a house in O'Fallon. And I was actually on the phone with Daniel. It was 2012. And I said to Daniel, "I just feel like St. Louis for us, for my wife and I, it just seems like a cemetery, a graveyard. So many broken bones." And Daniel just said, "Can those bones live?" I was like, "Meh. I guess, I don't know. I'm not in charge of bones." And just at that moment, just Ezekiel 37 just jumped off. It didn't jump off because I wasn't reading it, but I was very familiar with the passage. Can I just read Ezekiel 37 real quick? And this is what the Lord spoke to me in 2012 and my wife. "The hand of the Lord was on me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord and set me in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. And he led me back and forth among them, and I saw a great many bones on the floor of the valley, bones that were very dry. And he asked me, 'Son of man, can these bones live?' And I said, 'Sovereign Lord, you alone know.'" That's a good answer. Yeah. "Then he said to me, 'Prophesy to these bones and say to them, dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says to these bones: I will make breath enter you, and you will come to life. I will attach tendons to you and make flesh come from you and cover you with skin. I will put breath in you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord.' So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I was prophesying, there was a noise, a rattling sound, and the bones came together bone to bone. I looked and tendons and flesh appeared on them and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then the Lord said to me, 'Prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to it, this is what the sovereign Lord says: Come, breath from the four winds, and breathe into these slain, that they may live.' So I prophesied as he commanded, and breath entered them, and they came to life and stood up on their feet, a vast army." Then he said, I love this, by the way. "Then he said to me, 'Son of man, these bones are the people of Israel. They say, our bones are dried up and our hope is gone. We are cut off. Therefore, prophesy and say to them, this is what the sovereign Lord says: My people, I'm going to open your graves and bring you up out from them. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Then you, my people, will know that I am the Lord when I open your graves." We'd sing a song about that this morning. They didn't know that. "I open your graves and bring you up from them. I will put my spirit in you, and you will live, and I will settle you in your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken, and I have done it, declares the Lord." So out of that verse, very quickly, the Lord put it on our heart. Actually, it was a prophetic word from a man in England, a worship leader. And he said, "I saw you and Randy in a basement, in a house, just worshiping." And so we began meeting on Friday nights, every single Friday night. It was early 2012. And there's several people in this room who were part of that. And all we did for 18 months on a Friday night was we just worshiped. We moved in the gifts, asked Holy Spirit to refresh, bring people to life, to bring courage to their hearts again. And from that Friday night meeting, and we called it encounter meetings, because we were going to encounter him. And from that, this church was birthed September 2015 and 2013. And then approximately a year later, long story, won't go into it, we were able to, amazingly, as a 10-month-old church, be able to meet here in this building. And there are people here who were part of the previous church from that. And so we've been here, it'll be 10 years this September, and we've had some prophetic words from outside people who don't know us, that this church is like a huge warship, and it's been refitted, the sailors on the ship are healed and whole, and it's time to take the ship out into the community, into the high seas, because a warship isn't meant for a harbor, it's meant for the high seas. And so in praying, we feel like the Lord is adding now to what he has originally given us, the Ezekiel 37 as well as Ezekiel 47, to actually reach into the community. And we have been praying. We continue to pray for strategy. And just one last thing, I'm going to bring Guy up. Sorry, Guy. It's probably longer than you said. We prayed for probably 8 to 9 years to be able to reach into that school across the high school across the street. We had no access, no opportunity. It just was not happening. And again, we had people with prophetic words, we're going to reach, and there's no reaching. It's like a long way over there because we're not doing anything. Then COVID hit, everything was messed up, and then the school began reaching out to us. Can we use your church facility? Can we need it for this, 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 and this? So it's amazing how Holy Spirit makes things that you try all you want, nothing's happening. Something horrible happens, and the Lord makes something great happen out of it. So it's amazing what's happening. I'm not going to talk more any more about it this morning, but we just feel like God has given us a strategy, adding to dry bones, adding to people coming to life, to take him, Jesus, into the community through us. Almost like Acts 2 in the upper room. They all encountered Holy Spirit, and it spilled out onto the streets, and thousands of people got saved. And we are seeing young people getting saved over the last few weeks. So I'm going to turn it over to Guy. He's going to talk about strategy, which we heard. I didn't say anything about in the prayer room this morning, about strategy and reaching out. And this is Guy Medeiros.
Good morning. So I feel I'm really excited this morning. So if that comes through, I tend to talk really fast. Somebody give me the slow down signal. Because when the Holy Spirit does what he does and you see that get rolling, what comes next is exciting. So I just want to talk about that for us. But I want to start out with a story. And I want to say I have a son named Deacon. He's back there. Wave at everybody, Deacon. So he wasn't always this big, gangly, tall teenager. He started out as this little tiny baby. And when he came into this world, things were apparent right away. This was a Caucasian child of the male persuasion, right? Like right away, you see that. And then the third thing was he was just, stuff was just going, right? Like you could just see it from the time he was a little baby that he was just processing and just putting things together. So that's DNA he was born with. That was just there. Nobody put that in there but God, right? That was there. So Deacon also then started growing long blonde hair, right? And it looks so cute and you don't want to cut it. And so that kind of became part of his identity. And then he started talking and he used big words right from the beginning. You know how sometimes you teach kids like milk, ask for milk, right? Well, we were teaching him that. And so he would say, milk, milk. Like we're like, well, you don't have to do this if you can say it. So like he just was very, with his vocabulary, very early, just that's just who he was. And he grew and grew. And then he hit this stage where there you realize that the DNA that he was born with wasn't done. There was this activation period where some of it you hadn't seen before started to come out. Still a Caucasian, still a boy, still smart as a whip. But now all of a sudden, his height comes. You're like, that's a tall kid. And his voice changed. And his way of processing started to take shape. And his identity continued to grow as the DNA that was always there was activated and began to express itself. So it's not like it wasn't there and it just, you know, the fairy godmother, bing, and now you have, no, it was always there. It's just to the point where the activation has started to express itself. And I know that's not done, because at some point that beautiful long hair is going to do... Like, there is more to come as your DNA does, but there is that big change where it's who you are and then something gets added. That's a point. And I think that, from what we've been hearing from so many sources, some will get to hear today, I think we're there. Yeah. The voice change, get it? Like, we are at a place where the Holy Spirit is doing something, activating in us as a body, and we're going to see it a new expression. It isn't we're different now. It is we are the same, but something's being added to us. We're not stopping being who we are. There's just another aspect that's going to become apparent. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So DNA is given us by God. It contains both who we are and who we'll become. So we're a part of the body of Christ, and this part here contains exactly the traits that God intends for this body to have to do our part in restoring all things. So there's not something we should be waiting for. Oh, when these people come, or when this thing, like, then we'll be ready. Everything that he needs us to be is already here. Some of it may not be activated, but, like, he knows what he's doing.
Yeah.
So next, Deacon. Some traits we see now, some he'll activate at his appointed time. I want you to hear me and not get upset with me, but our DNA is inescapable. Deacon couldn't help becoming taller. He couldn't help those things. And it isn't something that he really should choose, or we as Christians should choose. So instead, it's like God's in control. He's placed in here what he wants to place here. And that's us to say, I accept that. I don't wish I was somebody else. I don't wish it looked different. I just say that's who I am. He made us this way, so what should I do? Serve God with what he put in me, both already realized and what's coming. So that's where we listen and obey and we leave the rest to him. We sang over and over this morning, like, you're worthy of it all, right? He's perfect, right?
Yes.
Raise your hand if you disagree with these statements. He is perfect. He will win. He's the author of history. He decides what happens. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Nothing is outside of his control. Nothing is outside of what he sees. He is not worried about anything. And he knows how it's going to end, and he wins. We can have trouble seeing that. He's not worried. He's never been worried. He's relaxed. The earth is his footstool because his feet are kicked up. He is not worried at all. So we don't have to be worried. We just have to go, how did God make me, and what does he want me to do? Our part is to trust that he's in control all the time. There's never a part where he's like, whoa, it's getting out of control. That doesn't happen. So we just say, I trust that you're completely in control. And then we go, now Dad, I obey you. What do you want me to do? This is how you made me, for better or worse, is who I am. You made me for a purpose. What do you want me to do? And then we do it.
Yeah.
Like, this is simple. This, none of this is hard. Next slide, Deacon. So Tom was talking about part of our DNA, right? It started with this heart of worship. We saw that this morning. That's not changing. It's not about the building. It's a place for people to encounter his presence. In his presence, we are healed, right? That doesn't change. We don't lose that.
Right.
So what's the next one, Deeds? So who we were at birth, I said Life Church St. Peter's, LCSB, began as simply as just lovers of his presence, right? And that's a good place to start. I say simply, but it means the rest of the stuff was clearly second place and is. So it's a place to come. We focus all our attention on who he is. We know that he's good. We know that Jesus is perfect and in charge. That was like when Deacon came. That's like us being male Caucasian, right? It's like, that's not going to change. That's always there. We couldn't change it if we tried, and we shouldn't want it. So I want to stress, what we're saying today doesn't have any effect on that whatsoever. That stays. That'll stay forever. Who we are now, Tom spent some time talking about, right? We have been this place where that word over this church that came to Tom and Randy and Dan, can these bones live? It was a really, really dry place. And when you think about that, right, that water, those streams, water will always find the lowest spot, the spot that needs it the most. That's just the way it's made, right? And so that's what happens here. That's what Tom saw and Tom heard, is there are hurting people that have just opted out. But that's not God's plan. So those people come together, they feel that stream, that water touches them, and these dry bones live. I've seen it over and over and over again. I'm looking at faces in here that came in that way and are changed. It happened to Dana and I. Happened to the Levesques. Mark just smiled at me. Like, it doesn't mean we were damaged. But no, it just means we were dry. And we're not dry anymore. That's not going to change. We don't change that. That's going to continue to happen. That's part of who we are. Those are kind of two aspects of who we are. There are a lot, but if you think of like the legs of the stool, we stand on those. Those are who we are. Anybody that comes in has been here for more than a couple weeks, they go, those people really love their worship. And the second one they say is, Tom preaches kindness and being a safe place for people all the time. He prays for two churches every single Sunday. He just wants to see people made whole and the church of God just be who they are. And that's what he was talking about this morning. That's not going to change. And that's where it is. Hear the word of the Lord. I will make breath enter you and you will come to life. That's not going to change. But that passage that he read, it doesn't stop there. Do they just come to life and stand around and start worshiping God? That would be a good thing. Do they come to life and say, hey, it's really cool. Let's make a community and start commerce. Like it. They come to life and behold a vast army. And then Tom kind of says that army, in our version of it, gets on a ship. And there's a lot of preparation and we're in a safe harbor, but we don't stop being an army. We don't. The purpose that God had for us wasn't to just get on the ship and hang out in a safe harbor. That's become clear, right? There's more to it. So this is who we've been, who we are and who we've been, but there's another aspect there. We're a place where people can come to get healed from past hurts, flow in their Holy Spirit gifting, and rekindled past promises from God for their life. Dry bones come to life here.
Right.
Amen.
Okay, good. It's oversimplification, but it's helpful. Okay, so Darren brings a word, and we're going to actually listen right now. I'm not even going to preempt it other than to say Darren is a trusted man of God. Tom asked him to come here. The Lord put something on his heart, and this man hears from God clearly. And he said this to us. So I have the words up there. We're also going to hear audio and just kind of follow along and just really let this sink in, because this is the word of the Lord to us.
As I was praying for the church, I was standing on the deck of a ship from like the 1800s or 1700s, you know, an old time ship. It was a warship. And I could hear wind, the wind filling the sails, you know, the big canvas sails, when the wind fills up, whoop, and you can hear it, you know. But this ship was sitting in a safe harbor. It was in a safe harbor. And protected from the wind and the storms and all of that stuff. But the wind was coming and it was filling these sails, and the ship started to kind of go forward, but it was yanking on the chain because it was anchored. And then I began to hear the sound of the chains of an anchor. You know, if they're pulling the anchor up, you know, and the chains being pulled up. And the wind blowing and the sails filling. Then I heard the sound of the doors where the cannons are lifting up. And the ship began to move in this direction, out of the safe harbor. I felt the Lord put something on my heart for the church. And I know that Tom has, when he came here, God gave him a prophetic word for this church, and it was about a ship out in the ocean, right? Rescuing people out of the ocean. They got on the ship and they were dried off and got back together, or put back together. So I think it's in keeping with that. But it's simply this. And I hope this isn't too, I don't want it to be hard, but I'm just being faithful with what the Lord put on my heart. That this ship is in a safe harbor. It was built for the ocean.
Yes.
It's a man of war. And it was built for the ocean. But it's dangerous out there. You get beat up out there. And as I was praying about this, I just felt that the winds that are filling these sails are the movings of the Holy Spirit and His kindness and His joy and His, they're refreshing winds, and they're to come to refresh us, but also to fill our sails. And it jettisons us out into the community.
Yes.
I want to encourage you, lift up the anchors. Now I know many of you. I know as believers, you are out in the community making differences. You work in the schools, and you work in the places of business, and you serve in the homes. And I understand that. And that's excellent, and that's accurate. But this is a corporate thing. This is a corporate expression of this church. And I don't know if I'm saying something, you're like, yep, we've talked about it. This is what I don't know what it is, so I'm sorry to put you on the spot. But I believe that God is giving, has given, or will give a specific task or two that this church needs to launch out in corporately as a church into the community. And you say, wow, I got a lot of good ideas. Listen, you don't need good ideas. What are you good at? What has God gifted you at? What's your skill set? He skilled this church at something. What is it? Lift up the anchor, fill the sails, and head out there. It's messy. It's dangerous. People get seasick. It's not the Bahamas. But go, because God has built you that way. And the ship that I see, it's a magnificent ship. It's healthy in every respect. The planks are strong. The guns are polished. The sails are all there's no tears. This is not a tattered ship. This is a healthy, strong, ready for war ship. And I hear the sound of the chains coming up and the wind filling it. Brothers and sisters, do not expect that the fulfillment of that will be within these four walls.
That's right.
I do not believe the Lord is speaking about putting on a worship conference and having a lot more fun on the stage.
Amen.
That's awesome. You have it, I'll be there. I love worshiping the Lord. But it's something out there.
Yeah.
But I believe God's calling this church to something corporately out in the community. John Block, I think I've heard that you lead a prayer team. I just want to say to whoever's on that prayer team, that's the guns right there. That's the big guns.
Yes.
Open the doors. Pray. Because when you go out into the ocean, man, it gets dicey. Yeah? There's enemies out there. Can I say to some here, I also thought of this. I saw the ship moving out of the harbor. And I saw some of the people, when they heard what Tom and the leaders were going to do, which I don't even know what that is, but when they heard, they're like, I don't think that's me. And they jumped overboard. Don't jump overboard, okay? You're on the ship. Stay on the ship. Find out what rope can you pull, what floorboard can you scrub, what thing can you hoist up, what, whatever. Get on the ship. Find where your oar is and row and work. And if you want to be the captain and you're asked to, you know, climb up the top and just be a, then just be a good lookout, whatever it is. But I believe God is raising the anchor in this church and headed out to sea, because He has a specific destination corporately for this church to bring His life to this community.
So that's exciting, right? Yes, yes. And there are a few things in there that I want to point out, and then we'll hear another word that is right in line with that. First of all, I don't know anybody that heard this and was like, he missed it. I don't know of anybody. I think that was generally accepted as the word of the Lord. I think it was well weighed, and I think it was spot on. I think He said a few things there. Number one, it's like He kind of used that worship. Like in peacetime, it's fine to do training stuff and to focus on getting the ship ready and to do all of those things. In peacetime, that's fine. But when that shift happens and you go out of the harbor, that focus turns externally to the work that's there to be done. So there's an aspect of that. It doesn't mean that there aren't people on the ship that still need to take care of the people on the ship. That doesn't change. But it does mean there's a focus that shifts. If you go into war in that ship and your focus doesn't shift externally, that's not right. That's irresponsible and it's dangerous, right? So there's that piece in there. But the other one is this idea of find where your O is and row and work, right? This is God saying, there, I have this phase coming for you. There's work to do. And in this one, your job is to obey. So there are ones where I want to do something. It could be a word from the Lord. It could be something he put in your heart, a desire. It can be, and those things are good. But he's like, right now in wartime, it's about obeying and corporately, all of us, looking at that external work there is to do. So if you're at a lookout and you want to be the captain, just be a good lookout right now. And then that idea of corporate, right? He says that a few different times in there. It's like, we have done amazing individual things. And he says, I see what you're doing. The Lord's saying, I see that. That's good. That's excellent. That's right. When you go out of the harbor, that becomes second. And you obey what he's doing, right? And so some of us are going, that obedience requires focus and attention and action during this period where the God is bringing us corporately. So there are some things where we have to say, this is my thing, but right now, out of obedience to the Holy Spirit, that is going to become my second thing, and this corporate thing we're doing, that is my first thing. And he specifically said, that's not really my thing. It's your thing. Yeah. If it's what God's telling us to do corporately, it's our thing. So with all of that in mind, and then this was from 2019, right? And so you're thinking like, okay, we're seeing stuff start to happen. This is the time through which that prayer ministry grows and grows. And we start to see things happen with the school. We know that's part of it. He's not specific, but he says, it's already who you are. You don't have to be different. This, right? It says, use what you got. He says, one or two things. Don't do 84 things. Do these one or two things. That's about all we get. And so we're just, okay, we know this is coming. We're watching what God's doing. And then in October, a group of people from here go up to St. Charles, Illinois, and we're hearing from a man named Julian Adams. Raise your hand if you know who he is. Okay, so not that many. He's a guy out of Boston. He and his wife both just have an amazing ministry, but he is a recognized prophet, right? So live streams would go, that guy's a prophet, right? And when you hear him, it's really hard to imagine that he's not a prophet. So he doesn't know any of this stuff. And then in October, he brings a word. So it's like, we know we're supposed to go. One or two things, and it's all us, and don't jump overboard, and go, go, go. God's bringing this to you. Okay, what? And it's like, if you pictured this word to happen in May of 2019, and then you heard that right before you walked into what we're going to hear, just imagine, it's like God's like, I don't know why he separates those things in times. All I do know is 3 years is teeny, teeny, tiny to him. And it's not my job. It's just my job to obey, not to understand. And then I think the difference between Darren's prophetic gift is this is exactly for you. And it's finite. It's in a nice little package. And here you go. See, I think what happens with Julian is he sees big picture and some pieces, and I think it's like, right? So his has that, and then it kind of gets a little bit more narrow. And sometimes he's saying, this is it. And other times, I'm seeing, I'm hearing, I'm thinking. And so there's still not absolute perfect clarity. But I want you, when you hear this, listen about the part that is clear. It's easy to get on, ooh, what might that mean? We don't see that yet. That's cool. And I get excited too. But I also want you to listen. What is he saying right here that's absolutely clear? We couldn't misunderstand it. And it's very instructive of how we should be obedient. Yeah, oh, sorry, one or two tasks. It's going to be outside of these four walls. Forgot this part. And we already have what we need, so I didn't pull up the slide, but that's think that heading in here.
Yeah, I talked a little bit about it. It's something quite significant with your church. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I feel like there's been a lot of vacillating in this last season. And it's like you guys have known that you're on the edge of something, but you just don't know what and what it needs to look like. And I feel like there's been such an incredible grace. Tom is such a beautiful man who carries just a wonderful, not only pastor's heart, but he has this ability to see what God is doing in other people and sow into that in a very powerful way. And I feel like because your church has done that, in this next season, you're about to reap in an amazing way. And I feel like there is a migration of people groups in this next season that's going to land in St. Louis. There's something about St. Louis becoming a very significant, I want to say tax haven, but that's not the phrase I'm getting. It's like a significant space where people who are struggling with some West Coast, East Coast dynamics are going to begin to come and move in. I feel like there's even something at a regional level where the governor or whoever is talking about how to make it more appealing for people to come. There's some business plans and kickbacks and ideas, even around property acquisition that your governor or whoever it is that's leading there is talking about. And it is a sign to you that you're to prepare for an influx of younger families in this next season. I honestly, I've never read up anything about St. Louis. So all I know is about St. Louis ribs. Is that right? Mm-hmm. St. Louis style rip. That's all
I know. Barbecue.
That's all I know about St. Louis. And thank God for that. But I feel like there's something about to happen. And I see like your area. I've been there once before. I didn't remember much of it because it was a very late night meeting. But I see something around building and developing happening east side, is the phrase I get. That there's an east side sudden gentrification or sudden increase of building and influx to where your physical building is. I see like something beginning to break open on the east side very significantly for you. And I feel like, again, God is wanting to get you guys ready. And I see three things are going to be very significant for you. I feel like there's something. Do you guys have a school on your property, or do you have
on the east side?
On the east side.
Exactly.
Okay, I feel like there's something about education and educational overflow and connections that you guys are going to have either into that school or as a result of that school, and that you're to start investing some funding around like teachers or people, carers is the phrase I get actually, like people will come in and help take kids who are struggling into different spaces. Not only kids who are struggling, but I see something around an alternative dynamic that will build a bridge between school and education and the church. And I feel like there's something about investing finance into that in this next season, because God is going to favor that, and there's going to be like a opportunity for evangelistic favor because of that, because of the influx of different kinds of communities and different people into that school. Parents are going to find out about you. And I feel like there's something about your actual physical campus that the Lord wants to bring some community upgrade to. And it's like, up until now, it's a Sunday bustling context, but I feel like God's about to move back into even some dynamics of conferencing venues and opportunities that will serve some things in that region. But also I see like a food bank or something that is going to be very significant in terms of an upgrade that will be very clearly demarcated, and lots of people are going to come and go as a result into that space. Your actual physical property is going to have increased foot traffic. I even see like a coffee shop or something, like something that's going to be very trendy, very cool, very that will gather young mums and young families because they just don't know where else to go. And I feel like you guys have been kind of waiting, and you've looked at a few plans, and you're trying to figure out some some fundraisers for it. And God says, I want you to get on with a job because I'm about to do something. And there's a growth curve that's about to be broken through in this next season. And it's going to require some new thinking from you guys even as a team. And it's going to require a higher level of risk taking. All right? And then as you step into this, you're going to see an acceleration of significant favor in this area. I felt also, in terms of the actual property dynamics, that I kept getting this phrase like a safe house, a safe house. And I feel like there's something about either a house or like either next door to the property or two houses up from the property that you're thinking, do we buy this? What do we do? How do we work out a space for a safe house? And I feel like the Lord's saying it's time. It's time for you to get that because it's going to serve the community as an alternative to the kind of cultural wokeness that you've seen. Yeah. That it will actually bring wholeness to people. And I see people coming into that space and getting freed up as a result. And so I feel like God is doing something very significant for you guys that... I want to say this just as by way of instruction, that you don't need an apostle in the church to be an apostolic church.
Woohoo!
You don't need an apostle in the church to be an apostolic church. And I feel like God is going to unlock an apostolic kingdom wineskin for you guys in this next season. That he's going to drive you from being simply beautifully and wonderfully pastoral to being pastoral with an apostolic edge.
Amen.
And so get ready because God's about to open that up for you guys.
Right? So there's a ton in there. Sometimes it's really clear. Thematically, it's clear. Some of the exact how... that we still get to find out what that looks like. And that's the beauty of it. That's the fun of it. But it is more instructional of like where to focus. So this is what I feel like between what Darren and Julian said. We've been commissioned, right? You are there. You were preparing. All of the DNA pieces of you are there and working well. You've gone through this time. And now... this thing is going to be added to you, this thing that's outside the four walls, this thing that is for the community. And it's like that ship has been commissioned. Okay, you've been ready. I've commissioned you, meaning I've sent you on this mission, and you're to go out and do it. And God's done that to us. Can you feel that in there? I don't. So in there, a lot going on, but it really is talked about showing the families and caregivers in our community. That was crystal clear, that God sees them, is for them, right? And then we'll encourage and honor and serve them. Our physical campus will be involved, right? Other aspects will be involved, but it really is about them in the community and us caring for them. Those dry bones, that's who we're addressing.
Right.
So now you've got this army on a ship. And I just want to say that armies, when we go out there, we get excited about doing this stuff. Things to remember in our excitement is this isn't an initiative. It's not like, oh, cool, this is what we're doing this year. That's an expression of a gene that has now been added to who we are. It's been there the whole time. We have everything we need for it. It is time. This is not going away. It will change what it looks like and it'll grow. But this is part of who we are now. A place of extravagant worship where dry bones come back to life. And we are faced outward to bring that stream out into our community for caregivers and families.
Amen.
We have had innumerable words from members of this body that were on the cusp of revival. Those two are not the only two that have been feeling this. If you've been here a while, you've heard... things like this said over and over and over again. And usually the flavor of those is, hey, it's not going to look like what we're expecting. Mm-hmm. Don't despise your part in it, right? Just because it doesn't look like what you're expecting. Just be glad it's here. Amen. And obey and rejoice in the part we have to play. So who sat out in like a fire pit? You're out there, you got chairs around it, you're hanging out, and that fire feels good because it's cold outside. There's not been a time when I'm enjoying that fire and enjoying the people around it where I've said, man, can you bring me the match that started this fire? Because, man, I want that match. I want some of that. It's the most important part of this fire. When we pray for two churches, we're serious. We're not better than them. We're all on the same team. I don't care where the match gets lit. I don't care if it's not here. I just care that it gets lit. And I want to do our part in it. So, like, if you're looking for it to start here and look a certain way, stop. If you're thinking it's going to look like Jesus Revolution, right? It, great movie, Holy Spirit move that way. If you're looking for that, stop. It's going to look like young families. It's going to look like caregivers. It's going to look like our community right in front of us. They're going to get restored. There's going to be an alternative to the wokeness. They're going to understand it's not what I'm getting out here isn't working. I better take my family. Where at least these people know who they are.
And they love us.
So that's a second point. Mark and I were talking before church, and there's these two pieces where you say, if it breathes, it's not the enemy. Tom talked last week. This is we are a safe place. My war is not against flesh. I am to serve, not to go out and, hey, everybody look at me and come and gather around us. No, I am out there to serve like Jesus served. Because those people are worth it. I accept before they change. I don't expect a sinner to not sin. It doesn't shock me. It doesn't surprise me.
Yeah, right.
But there's the other side. It's like, it's our job, the authority of who we have and what we understand. And Mark's a great model of this to say, but I will speak to that principality and power. I will speak to the spirit of the age. I won't be quiet there. But I'm not directing it at the people I'm serving. We got to do both, and if one gets louder than the other, we're not doing it right. In our obedience, that's what Jesus, that's a picture Jesus painted. Satan, get behind me. Woman at the well, hey, there's a better way.
Yeah.
Those chains that feel so heavy, I can pull them off.
Come on.
So, both. We understand that churches have other roles to play. We bless them in their part. If they're the match that strikes and they get all the credit, I don't care. Yeah, that's right. Thank you. So we join in the body and doing the part that we're supposed to do, the part that's in our DNA, and we don't despise it, and we don't worry about what other people think about it. We just obey. We know that our part is just one piece of the whole, and we're not so proud that that bothers us. No matter how humble it is, no matter how different it looked like than what we thought was coming. And just to recognize, it's here. It's not coming anymore. If that's not clear in there, I don't know what is. It is here. If you've been waiting, it's now. I would imagine the words from God that are going to come up, those prophetic words, are going to shift pretty clearly at this point. From it's coming and get ready to, Lord, we want to obey. We want to see what you see done. What can we do? I am over time. Where do we go from here? This could look a bunch of different ways. There's paths out in front of us, right? That's clearly there. And so instead of worrying about what's down the path, did he say something about a coffee shop? Like, don't worry yet. Start with the part that no matter which of those ways we're going to go, the first few steps are the same steps. What was clear in the word? What was unequivocally certain? And can we do something there? And then can we not do 84 of those things? Or can we corporately do one or two things outside of these walls, right? Corporately, together. Build relationship with local schools. Tom's talking about it. It's already started to happen. Yeah. That's clear. East of us would be a great place to start. It's crystal clear. So in listening to that, we obeyed. There's a Fort Zumwalt school district, right? And they were having this community. Come on in. Tell us what you think of our schools and what could help and what needs to be focused on. We're like, I'll go there because I'm going to hear something there that Jesus is pointing me at. I don't know what it is, but I'm going to hear it. So you see the superintendent on the left, another lady in the middle. She's on the board. And then an administrator on the right. They're going through this stuff, and they get to this chart. And I'm thinking, something, something schools, something, something caregivers. And I'm thinking about who we are. And I'm thinking, You couldn't get somebody more encouraging than Stephen Newton. You couldn't get somebody more humble and thinking about others than Tom. You couldn't get somebody with a servant's heart more than Dawn and Lauren, right? Like, that's there. You couldn't get somebody that understands the authority of who we are more than Mark and Kathy Levesque. You can get somebody that's better at making really good plans than Dana Medeiros. Like, who are we already? And I'm thinking all these thoughts as this chart comes in. I'm going to zoom up on it. I'm sorry, it's not a great picture because I was the only idiot in there going, I'm just going to take a picture of it because I'm getting excited. This should break your heart for the lost. Climate and environmental support summary. That's just a fancy way of saying they took a, how do you feel the environment is? Do you feel it's healthy here? Do you feel like this is good? Up on the upper left, there's that topic and that sense of belonging. They're asking this to students in 3rd through 5th grade and then 6th through 12th grade. Look at that 6th through 12th number. Yep. She said, if you pulled out the juniors and seniors, it gets worse. And she was visibly emotional. And she's an administrator. And she is like, then she starts talking about the teachers. That's the bottom one, teachers and staff of that same age group, 6th through 12th. School climate, environment. They're the ones making the environment. It's not working. And he goes on to talk about how they're leaving. They had slides on how fast people are leaving and retiring, how few are coming in, how they're feeling. And then at the end, they do this exercise where they say, all these things we went through in the chart, you, community, put your sticker next to the one that you think needs the most. And after that exercise, everybody stands back. This one, with students and teachers needing to feel heard and valued and like they belong and like somebody's for them and that they're encouraged. All the stickers. Everybody gets it. And I'm like, oh, okay, God. We are encouragers that bring things to life. And these guys are dying. Do we have something we can offer them that's already here? Yes, we do. Become a young place where young families feel welcome. I know that across all of the things that I observe, I know what Stephen and Heather are doing. I know what Mark and Angie are doing, what Roberta and Megan are doing, and others. I'm watching it happening, and they're going, I believe they're coming. I'm going to make this a place where they feel welcome. We're doing more stuff where the whole family comes. We just know that's part of it. They're coming. Like, when they come, will they feel like I got a place to plug in? I'm here? They want me here? Like, purposefully doing it. Yes, we want you here. Come on in. Yes. And then finally, just explore community needs. That's in there. I don't know what they are, but this place and us are going to get used to serve this community, so I'm just going to start looking for those. What are you good at? What has God gifted you at? What's your skill set? He skilled this church at something. What is it? We are great at encouraging, helping, and healing. We're really, really good at that. And it turns out they need it really, really badly.
Yeah.
Outside of these four walls. When you think about our mission, we say, love God, love people, live with purpose. Boy, that's short and catchy and easy to do. It's who we are. It's the DNA. When that encounter part isn't going away. We love God.
Yeah.
We love people. We're not going to stop being a place where dry bones come to life. Yeah. Where people's dreams, we're saying, well, what is it he's put in you? Let's see that flourish. But that live with purpose, that's expressing now. That's going to be seen. And we're going to take it seriously as though we all have been commissioned to go to those families and the caregivers in our community and just say, this is how God sees you, which is another way of saying fruits of the Spirit come out and encouragement happens and joy and peace and gentleness and patience and self-control. That's what Jesus modeled. Yes. That is what the people that breathe, remember, if they breathe, they're not our enemy. They get the fruit of the Spirit. The devil gets the sword.
Yeah, he does.
So our commission is going to require a few changes. So Darren's word was specific. It's a corporate expression. And when you're commissioned, it means saying no to some of the things we've been doing, especially kind of individually in pockets, during peacetime where it's perfectly appropriate. We'll have to, in order to do what we've been commissioned to do, when the ship leaves, I have to stop loading crates and I have to go man the sails, right? Yes. It's okay, it's not bad, because corporately we have a mission, that's in there. So when that comes and you feel that, go, oh, I knew that was supposed to happen, that's okay, my job is to obey, yeah. Right? We no longer have the luxury of a safe harbor. That has been a luxury that we've been living with. You know Jesus didn't call us to luxury.
Yeah.
You know that, right? So it's going to feel like we left the safe harbor. What did we say? We're not in Mexico. What did he say? We're not in the Bahamas anymore. It's going to be obvious. That's the other thing. Like, get your mind ready for that. I might have to stop doing some of the things I've been doing. And it's rough out there. I might get seasick. I don't care. I'm not jumping overboard. It leaves no room for casual spectating. It requires us to find where your oar is and row and work. So there's that season of refreshing, and we come here to get refreshed, right? But at the end of that refreshment, we are an army, and an army's pointed at something.
Yeah.
And you don't turn and run. You don't abandon the army. That's like, you don't do that. And when God's the captain of it, and you already know the outcome, you don't have to worry about it. You don't run away. You do what he's asked you to do. If he says dig a hole, you dig a hole. If he says sit in this, you know, foxhole behind this sandbag, I'm doing it because it's the mission that matters, not the other stuff right now. So that can be a change in how we look at stuff. What sort of things we volunteer to help for. How much time we spend with each other going towards something. That has changed. It has been a luxury to kind of do it when I want to. We aren't entering that season. So God gave me a picture. It turns out Stephen, probably others of you may have had this, but Stephen had a very, very similar one, if not exactly the same. It was this. I'm out. I've got this like Jesus Revolution. Man, I can't wait to see it. It's going to be amazing. It's like, and I'm thinking, I'm 47. I want to see mine, you know, while I can still really actively get after it and be part of it. Like, I want to see that. I want to see my version of that. And I'm kind of in that mind. I'm out on the beach. Or I'm in the water, right? And I'm on a surfboard. And I'm just kind of in there. And I'm turning around and I'm watching the waves of the Holy Spirit come in. And there's some that are kind of small. I'm like, ooh, that's a great wave. I don't think like it's the big one, but that's a great wave. I bless you, wave. We do your thing, wave. Then I watch the next. Ooh, that's a little bigger. Maybe this is one. It's not just me. There's other surfers out there. This wave isn't for like one church or one person, one match. I'm watching it, and I see this wave coming. I'm like, that's it. That's my wave. It's here. And it kind of, it changes because you're just peacefully paddling. You're like, oh, no, I got to paddle now. I got to get ready. I got to yell at everybody. It's coming, everybody. Yeah. I see. I'm like, I'm 47. That wave is not going to pass me by. It will not. I'm going to paddle as hard as I can paddle. I'm going to be right in the middle of it. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what my part is. It's like, it's here. If you're like me and you've been waiting because you know it's coming and you want to see your version of what happened in the 70s and you don't care that it's Toronto Blessing or Azusa Street or Bethel, I don't care where it starts. I don't care whose name is on it. I'm not going to miss it because this may be the last one I have. I'm going to give it all I got. If I have to quit, I have to quit my job. If I have to be uncomfortable, I have to be uncomfortable. I don't care. I just want to serve. Just don't miss it. Everybody in here, you're part of this. You're part of what he said. You're here for a reason. That DNA is in you. It is in you. Now I just want to do something. I just want to do something. Pray. That's the big guns. Open up those doors and let it fly. Pray for this community. Every time you're together, every time you're alone, pray for St. Peter's. Pray for the caregivers. Pray for the families, the young moms and dads, the children whose scores are just abysmal about being left behind and not fitting in. Pray for them. Those are the big guns. That's the principality and powers. That's where you speak into that with all you got. If you don't know how, ask Mark. He will show you. Ask John Block. He will show you. In April, on April 12th, I feel like everybody should be reaching for their phones. On April 12th, we are going to do something together. I would ask that on the evening of April 12th, you'd make every effort you can to be there. We're going to meet in the 129 building. If we don't fit, we'll figure something out. And what we're going to do is I'm asking you right now, between now and then, be praying. God, show me what to do. Give me ideas from heaven. Show me what this could look like, how I can help, right? Because it's not what Tom said it, and Dan said it on the thing. It's not like Tom is the one that gets it all, and he knows. That's not how it works. We're all in this together. So we need to come. Like, we can't do 43 things. We do one or two things. So we need to actually talk through what we're seeing, look for what the Holy Spirit's doing, pray into it, and do those things. It doesn't mean they're the only things, but they're the first few steps. What are they? We need you. We can't do that by ourselves. This doesn't work that way. So I want people to pray up like you've never prayed before. If you don't know what fasting is, it's hard because your body doesn't like to do it, but like Google it. And then and think, okay, I should be doing that. Whatever I can bring to bear in my spirit, in my soul, I should be doing it in preparation for that meeting. That's where we're going to talk through this stuff. We're all part of it. We're all being obedient. So if you can't be there, can you send ideas to that email address? It's just my last name, adaris@lifechurchstpeters.com. Dana and I will aggregate those things and make sure they're represented on the 12th. If you physically can't be there, you aren't off the hook. Pray, fast, get that stuff down, what the Holy Spirit says. Send that to us before the 12th so that we can represent it in that meeting, okay? And then that's the church app there. The notes from today are in the app. You don't have to try to get that one if it didn't work. They're out on the tables in the Connect desk, out the doors and to the left. If you just point your camera at that, then it will bring up the link that can help you download the church app, because we'll be communicating in there. Because when it's one or two things and it's corporate, we got to communicate and stay coordinated, aligned with one another on what the first one or two things are. So that's a way to help you. The notes are in there. Grab an oar and start rowing. So I am done. It is done. I'm telling you, there's room for you. If in the past you've said, they've already got one of those, somebody's already functioning in that, ain't like that in this. This news part, nobody's doing it yet. There's room for you. I don't care if this is your first Sunday or your 401st Sunday. I don't care how long you've been here. It doesn't matter. Yeah. There's room for you in this. Yeah. That wave, it goes on and on and on. Yeah. Many people that want to surf it, come right in. You have gifts inside you, just like we talked about with Deacon, that haven't been activated yet. Expect them in this time period. Yes. Expect that to happen. Words of your life, gifts that you haven't seen come to fruition, gifts you didn't even know were there. It's during these times that that happens. So get ready for that. Pray into that. And finally, you are in on the ground floor. We will talk about this time. Oh, I was there for the beginning of that. I remember that. Yep. You're not too late. You're not too new. You're not too new to the faith. You're not too new to here. You're not too young. You're not too old. You're not too anything. This is where it starts. We're going to look back on this time and be like, can you believe that happened? And I was paddling like the Dickens. Yes. And it's going to feel good when we're standing up and looking at everybody and seeing what this wave is doing, the water it's bringing to those dry places. Yeah. It is going to be amazing. Our grandkids will be talking about it. Yes. It's going to be awesome. So I'm sorry for taking so long. I just want to see you on April 12th. We'll get communication about exactly when it starts and stuff. Right now, just hold that spot if you would, because I really, really need your help. We need to see you there. And Tom, would you like to close?
Awesome.
so it's time to get into the community. And I know for probably 4 or 5 years, Derek and Laura have pointed us, whether it's Love in Action feeding program, ministry, or Ken and Beverly, they just amazingly have contacts into the community, but it's time for corporately, that it's not just 2, 3, 4 people doing something and doing an amazing job. So don't freak out. What are you good at? Can you pray? Can you love broken people? Can you serve? Can you encourage people? That's what we're talking about. So I couldn't be more excited. I feel like finally, it's like with the school, finally. So can I have everybody stand up? On the 12th, April 12th, come to that meeting. Obviously, send stuff in. Guy and Dan are going to provide coordination for a lot of this community outreach. So you don't have to, I can't do that. People in their giftings are going to serve us and help us to be great at what God's called us to be great at. So Holy Spirit, I thank you that you're patient. I thank you that you love us. I thank you that you want us to involve in taking the kingdom of heaven into our community. I thank you, Lord, that you've been so kind in allowing the ship to come together, to patch up sails, to get guns ready to go, learn how to actually fire the guns, the cannons. Lord, we want to change our community. It's time for the river to go into the community and see lives changed, healed, saved, born again, discipled, that building, once again, the Lifelight building, is spilling over with kids, spilling over. And kids change at home. They come home, and the parents come because, what did you do to my child? He's not swearing at me. He's getting out of bed and putting his shoes on. That can be a step for people. Jesus, I thank you that you are gracious enough to want to involve us. Help us. Help us to find peace in our giftings, to not be jealous of other people's giftings, to serve, to love, to bless, to be great at being humble. Jesus, I thank you for what you've done here. And we want to see people born again. We want to disciple people. We want to teach people. We want to show them Jesus in a real way. So, Lord, thank you for what you're doing. Thank you for where we're going. Bless us, bless us, bless us. Help us. Give us wisdom and discernment. Activated faith. And everyone said, amen. Amen, amen.
Thanks for checking out the Life Church St. Peter's Message of the Week. For more podcasts and additional information, visit us at lifechurchstpeters.com.